Well, good morning. How's everybody? All right, that's what I like to hear. This is day one, so no one can be tired from being out too late, having dinners and drinks and things, right? So everyone's going to be into the demos and ready for this session. Is that right? There we go. Excellent, excellent, excellent. So first, let me introduce myself. My name's Aaron Kelly, and I lead the product management team for Office 365. And I'm really excited to be here today to share with you kind of our future look at productivity with Office 365 with a specific emphasis around SharePoint. So we really wanted to go deep on SharePoint in this session, not with slides, but actually with demos. And so we've got four great demos lined up for you in the next hour to really go into depth on SharePoint Online and Office 365. So first things first, raise your hand if you've got a beta account for Office 365. Okay, pretty good. Hopefully by the end of this session, we're going to have all the hands up, and certainly by the end of TechEd, I want every single one of you to try it out. Sign up for the beta and start using it, because it's really, truly an incredible service that I think you can take advantage of at your company. Okay, so let me dive in. First off, I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about some of the key trends that we're seeing in the industry that drove us to build Office 365 and why we think it's a valuable service for you. For starters, I think everyone's probably heard about the consumerization of IT. Pretty common buzzword you hear. The way we think about that in the Office group is it's all about new ways for people to communicate and collaborate to be more productive. And in many cases, those new ways, those new techniques, those new tools are starting in the consumer world, and they're starting by the younger generation. And as that younger generation enters the workforce, they are now interacting with more experienced workers who are familiar with a different set of tools. And so being able to address that multi-generational workplace is very, very important and a key trend in productivity. So, some workers are going to be very comfortable and familiar with real-time collaboration tools like instant messaging and chat. They're going to want to go to blogs and to wikis, as opposed to things like email or classic document creation and distribution. And so being able to address that multi-generational gap within an organization is very, very important. Now, of course, you want to be able to do this by providing all your workers anywhere access to their data and information. And when we say anywhere access, we don't just mean from any location, but it's also from multiple devices. So being able to access your data and information from a PC that's maybe a desktop or a laptop that's yours, that you have control over. Being able to access your data and information from a web browser on a PC that's not yours, that's not a company-owned asset, but it's something at a friend's house or while you're on the road. And then, of course, being able to access your data and information from a mobile device is becoming more and more critical. I'm pretty sure every single person in this room has at least one mobile device with them, and they're using that to stay in touch with the office. So being able to provide that data information anywhere is critical. Now, of course, being able to deliver this consistently across those three environments, being able to deliver that anywhere around the world, puts a tremendous burden on IT to be able to deliver those solutions with high uptime, reliability across around the world. And of course, this is all happening under the context of the rise of the cloud. So the cloud is becoming a more and more viable option for customers to use as a technology platform to deliver these solutions. So as we think about these five trends, that's really what drove us to build and develop Office 365, which we see as the future of productivity. And it's about delivering the best productivity experience for all your end users across the PC, phone, and the browser, and then doing it in a way that gives you choice in how you deploy. So you don't have to go entirely to the cloud, and you don't have to stay entirely on-premises with servers. You can actually implement a hybrid model or deliver both. And that's a key differentiation that Microsoft is able to bring to the table by delivering this technology as servers and delivering this as cloud services. So what's in Office 365? Well, first and foremost, it includes Office. It's the Professional Plus rich client, and it's the web applications hosted in a browser. And so this really allows end users who are familiar with the Office tool set to very quickly interact and use Office 365 in a productive manner. By including Office in the suite, what it also does is allows you to continue to leverage and take advantage of existing documents and content in your environment. Those documents are easily read by Office 365 in full fidelity with all their attributes. So you don't lose any information as you move documents that were created from a rich client on premises on a PC and as you move them to the cloud. That's really a key point. So in addition to Office, it also includes Exchange. Exchange Online has email, calendar, contacts. And with this latest version, things like unified messaging, archiving, not only for personal use, but also archiving for e-discovery scenarios and compliance scenarios. So really, a lot of great investments in Exchange. Of course, SharePoint Online is also part of Office 365, and that delivers a whole new set of features versus the current version we have in market. And we're going to talk more about that later, so I'm going to move on to Link. Link is another key element, and it's really the sizzle of Office 365, as I like to say. Because what Link does is it brings together the conferencing solution that was Live Meeting with IM presence and voice that was part of OC Online, integrated into a single client, integrated into a single experience that's seamless for users, very easy to use, and you'll see a little bit of that today in the demonstration. You'll also see it throughout the week at TechEd. We are very excited about Link as a product from Microsoft, and you're going to see a big push from us this year to really drive and deliver Link around the world. Now, so it's one thing to have those individual workloads, but it's another thing to deliver them in an integrated fashion. And that's another great attribute of Office 365, being able to have all the latest versions of those technologies integrated seamlessly, so again, your end users see the experience very seamlessly of moving between one workload and another, as opposed to having each thing separately, or in some cases, not being on the latest versions of each one, and so that interaction or that integration just isn't as rich. So that's a key element, again, of Office 365, being on the latest elements, being always up to date. And then I wanted to spend a couple seconds talking about the convenience and choice. So one of the things you're going to see in many of the sessions later today and, of course, across the week at TechEd is real deep dives into how you deploy and implement Office 365 in a hybrid environment. And what we mean by that is having the ability to decide which users you want to continue to run on-premises with a server and which users you want to move into a cloud, but setting up in a way where you have common identity, you have a common provisioning model, and things like Exchange, you're able to share free busy information between users in the cloud and users on-premises. And so look forward to those sessions to really go deep on some of those hybrid scenarios. So I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about SharePoint, and then let's get into the demos. So one of the number one questions I get time and time again from customers is, help me understand the differences between what is in SharePoint Server and what is in SharePoint Online. And throughout the week here at TechEd, we're going to go deep into this so you can really get a crisp sense of what's in the different offerings. Now, as we think about SharePoint generally, we organize it into four core areas. Sites and communities is one core area. And SharePoint Online really delivers a great set of features here. Specifically, what's new in SharePoint Online versus previous versions is things like My Sites. And we're seeing My Sites really start to emerge as that Facebook-like experience within the enterprise. Employees are creating their own My Site, they're putting their documents and information there, and they're discoverable now by other employees as being experts or key points of contact and key initiatives. So My Sites is a great capability that's part of SharePoint Online. Intranet sites are another key thing that we're seeing more and more customers take advantage of. In this rev of SharePoint Online, there's great extranet capability, and so you can start to create document collaboration with users outside of your organization. And then we have a very simple website as well for small and medium businesses that want to have an internet web presence leveraging SharePoint Online. Now, in the sites and community section, the one thing that we don't have as part of SharePoint Online is that internet service. So FIZ, typically called SharePoint for Internet Service, is not a core internet sites rather, is not a core part of the SharePoint Online offer. That's something that we're looking at in the future, but right now at this time frame in the beta, and as we look at general availability later this year, that's one thing that is really only available today in server infrastructure. If I look at content management, a lot of great capabilities, of course, in the server, and as well with SharePoint Online. Libraries and lists are key, and we spent a lot of time making sure that data hierarchies are things you can capture in term store. So being able to really think about your SharePoint site, thinking about the hierarchy of information there, and making that available. A few things we haven't been able to implement, though, on the service are things like IRM around SharePoint site, and then the record center is not part of that. And again, there's a lot more detail in subsequent sessions that you can really drill into. Search is another key investment area for us with SharePoint. Of course, the server and SharePoint Online. And we've made a lot of improvements there. So you can really start to take advantage of a lot of the cross-site search in SharePoint Online. You can take advantage of People Finder in SharePoint Online. But a couple of things that we can't do in SharePoint Online. One of them is FAST. It's not part of the SharePoint Online service at this time. And then being able to do search across premise. So having some SharePoint sites on premises, some SharePoint sites in the cloud, we're not able to do search yet with SharePoint Online. And that's something that the engineers are definitely working on for future release. And then finally, as we look about business intelligence and composite applications, there's a lot of great things you can do here. In particular, the sandbox solutions available, so you can start to do some customization with sandbox. You're going to see a lot today in the demos around sandbox. You're going to see a lot today in the demos around Silverlight web parts being used in conjunction with SharePoint Online, which is really, really a great way to customize and bring to life a SharePoint Online site for your users. But a few things that we don't have there. A couple things. One, business connectivity services, or BCS, not available in SharePoint Online at this point. Performance point features are not in there. And then we can't yet do fully trusted code in a SharePoint Online deployment. But what we can do, and again, some of the demonstrations will show, is people are starting to write custom code in clients, they're running it servers, and more importantly, they're starting to write their custom code in Windows Azure, and then taking advantage of the interaction through web services to build out a more customized solution with SharePoint Online. So that's kind of a very quick flyover on what's in and out of SharePoint Online. Again, there's many more sessions here at TechEd that are going to go into a lot more detail, and so I encourage you to go attend those. But rather than me kind of continuing to talk up here in slides about SharePoint Online, I'm going to invite Chris up, and Chris is going to give you a demonstration of SharePoint Online in action as part of Office 365. And we're going to start with the admin experience, see what it's like to set up a user, and then he's going to show you how quickly you can build a SharePoint site. So welcome, Chris.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right.
Let's get switched over to my machine,
which is laptop one.
There we go. Got a little sleepy there for a second, but I think we managed to wake it back up. So in this demo, I'm going to show you the getting started experience around Office 365, including how to set up users and start working with the services, as well as starting to customize the services for the individual use of your users and your business. So what I've done prior to today's demo is I went up to office365.com and signed up for the beta using that green link there, join the beta. So after I signed up for the beta, I got my welcome mail, which gave me all the information I needed to get started my tenancy, including getting signed up as an administrator within Office 365 so I can start working with users and setting up the services. So I'll go ahead and sign in here. And it's going to take me directly to the admin console for Office 365. And this is where I can start kind of doing some of the IT pro workloads around Office 365. Like, I can go in and start setting up users. And one of the first things I'll probably want to do is set up single sign-on. So if I have AD deployed within my company, I'll set up ADFS 2.0 and start doing the work to provide federation between AD and Office 365. So when my users sign into their Windows box, they're automatically signed up in the cloud or signed on in the cloud with Office 365.
So that eliminates the need for the sign-in client that we had with BPOS.
Exactly, or getting the screen pops and stuff like that.
Great.
So the next thing that I'd want to do after that is get all of my users up into Office 365. And again, I could do that manually through the browser, through uploading CSV files. But here, what you can actually do with the Active Directory synchronization is synchronize your users from your AD store up in Office 365. So then it's just a matter of applying licenses to each individual user based on their needs.
Got it.
So for example, here's the Chris Mayo user. And you can see here I have a choice of a couple of different licenses. I'm a heads-down information worker doing a lot of work in Office and SharePoint and so on. So I actually have an enterprise plan for this user where it includes Office Professional Plus, Office Web Apps, SharePoint Online, Link Online, and Exchange Online. But if I was like a casual information worker, maybe just checked email once or twice a day and maybe went to SharePoint to get like announcements and news and stuff like that, I could also get a kiosk user license, which is a reduced cost license just for very casual computer users that just includes SharePoint Online and Exchange Online.
Got it. But so in this case, you're using the full suite.
Exactly, exactly. Great. So then you can assign users different roles, whether they're just going to be a normal user that's going to be a consumer of the services or whether they're going to be an administrator. And you can see here I'm in a global administrator, which has the ability to change anything within the tenancy. There's different administrator roles, like if someone's just going to do billing or just do password resets for users, or if they're just going to be a service administrator, you can set them up with that individual role. You can control sign-in status here, so allowing or blocking a user just with one little click, and then set their user location to control where they're homed within the service. Okay, so I'm going to go out of there and start working, now that I have all my users set up, I'm going to start working with the individual services. So when I go into the admin overview screen, you can see I can manage Exchange Online, Link Online, and here's SharePoint Online. And within SharePoint Online, you can see that this administration console looks different from what you might be used to with central administration on-prem. Because with on-prem, you know, you're setting up the servers and, you know, setting up web applications and front-end servers and doing all the patches and all that stuff. But when you're buying Office 365, the service actually does all that for you just in the farm. So now you just manage the site collections themselves. So here I can go into the site collections panel, and I can either create that public website that you were talking about, that small and medium business brochureware type site, or I can create private site collections. Like here I have a site collection that we're going to be using during the course of all the demos that we're seeing here today for the School of Fine Art. And if I click on this link, you know, I can create a new site collection and I can determine, you know, what the disk allocation is going to be. I can set resource points for sandbox solutions or customizations like you'll see in the rest of the demos today. Let's go ahead and take a look at this site. You can see here that this site looks very similar to SharePoint 2010 because SharePoint Online is based on SharePoint 2010. And the customization story is exactly the same, where I can go in, you know, edit the page and start dropping in some web parts. Like if I wanted to show announcements on the School of Fine Art front page, I can just say list and libraries, announcements, and then add, and it'll pull through that web part, showing the different announcements about, you know, what the departments are doing. If I wanted to include a video here, like, you know, the Spring Art Symposium that the school is having, I can just throw another media web part in here and just grab a video that's actually already uploaded into the cloud with SharePoint Online, so it's sitting in our site assets library.
So there's really quite a bit of customization that you can do with SharePoint Online, and it's just like what you would do on-prem.
Yeah, and this is just, you know, some of the very, very simple stuff. We've got some really sophisticated demos that we're going to be showing as far as customizations of workflows and automatically creating sites and stuff like that, but this is just kind of the out-of-the-box stuff. Like, you know, if I'm taking a Silverlight web part that, you know, somebody on my team has created, I can just grab a link to that. Like this weather widget, if I want to include weather on the page, so, you know, students know whether they need to walk to class or maybe they want to catch the bus that day. I'll just go more web parts, grab the Silverlight web part that ships with SharePoint Online. And let's go ahead and just put a link in there.
Got it. So although they're not, we can't do everything with SharePoint Online that we can do with SharePoint Server, there's really a lot of things you can do. And one of the huge advantages, of course, is you don't have to do any deployment. You just basically can start right from a SharePoint environment and start customizing your solution right away.
Exactly. And it's everything from, you know, these simple web parts to doing things like having custom master pages and branding and stuff like that. So if I wanted to go ahead and save this page and then show a solution the School of Fine Art was actually using when they were on-prem, but now since it was a sandbox solution, they can go ahead and just use that up in the cloud, because sandbox solutions are supported equally within SharePoint 2010 and SharePoint Online. I'll go ahead and activate this feature, and it's going to take a second for this to work, but it'll go through and pull through a custom master page, set that as the master page, deploy the CSS file, deploy all of the site assets that you need in order to do the branding, like show some really nice graphics and stuff like that.
Got it. So you're basically starting with a pretty blank SharePoint template. You're adding a web parts for video, you're adding announcements, you added a customized Silverlight web part for pulling in weather, and now you've just skinned it with customized branding with using the that you had on-prem.
Right, and we're going to be building on this site throughout the rest of the demos that you're seeing here today. So, you know, just showing the video and showing the Silverlight web part with the rainy weather back in Redmond and stuff like that. But just to give you an idea what the getting started experience would be as far as, you know, signing up with a tenancy, setting up your users, giving them licenses so they have the ability to use the tools they need for their particular job, and then getting started in the services like doing these customizations with SharePoint Online.
Very cool. Well, great. Thanks, Chris. What do you guys think? At least it's not 47 degrees and raining here, right? Yeah, we could be in Seattle. So that just gave you a very quick flyby of the... Okay, here we go. That gave you a very quick flyby of the admin experience, adding a user. As Chris mentioned, one of the great new features of Office 365 is the ability to deliver a single sign-on for all your users in that environment. And you can see there's quite a bit of customization you can do with SharePoint Online without having to do fully trusted code. So now what I want to do is just spend a few minutes talking a little bit more about some of the features that come in SharePoint Online, and then we'll jump into the next demo. So I mentioned earlier My Sites. Again, we see this as becoming a very, very popular way of using SharePoint Online in the enterprise, being able to create a Facebook-like experience for each employee to be able to store and share their information with other employees. I know we use that a lot, even leading up to TechEd, as you start to think about these large PowerPoint slides and wanting to share them around the environment. Doing that in email just doesn't make sense, and a My Site's a very convenient way. Of course, team sites, you saw that. That's a very popular part of SharePoint historically and continues to be with SharePoint Online. Intranet sites is another way that you can take advantage of SharePoint Online, being able to deliver a single place where all of your users in your organization can kind of understand what's the latest and greatest from your company. And then, of course, an external website. This is primarily designed for small or medium businesses, but nonetheless, it is something that you can take advantage of as part of SharePoint Online to get started with some very simple web out-of-the-box website experiences. So, but again, rather than talk about it, this session's all about demonstrations. So I'm going to have Donovan come up and talk about and show you the next stage in the School of Fine Arts demo. So we built out the site initially. Now Donovan's going to show you really some customized workflow that we've developed that allows users to interact, professors and students, in kind of an app-like environment. So thanks, Donovan.
Okay, thank you very much, Aaron. Hi, I'm Donovan Follett, a senior technical evangelist for the Office platform at Microsoft. And today I'm going to be in the role of a faculty member at the School of Fine Art. And the School of Fine Art has adopted Office 365, and that's SharePoint Online, of course, Link Online, Exchange Online, to be able to better collaborate with their students as well as manage their courses. So in this demo, you'll see a custom solution that's been built out for the school. We've used CSS to nicely brand the site pages. We also have web parts that have been customized, as well as workflows. This is getting a little ring in here. As well as some workflows that have been customized so that courses can be quickly created as site collections, as well as workflows that will also manage assignments and the distribution of assignments to our students. So then this all comes together in a really nice Silverlight dashboard for the students, so they can have deep link integration online with the professor if they want to discuss with him or her. So let's go ahead and get started here. We'll go into the art history department. That's the department that I'm associated with. And at the departmental level, the site pages have web parts for information about the department. Here's news and events. And in the center section here, you can see a web part that has information about the faculty members for the department, as well as the teacher's assistants that work in the department and work with the professors and the students. My TA is Augusto, and so he helps out with all the courses that I teach. On the left-hand side in the navigation bar here, this is a dynamic navigation bar that's being built from the active content that's within the course, within the school's site. So for each professor, all the courses that are currently active are being shown in the navigation bar. So I'll go ahead and drill into the my faculty member site. And each faculty member at their site, again, they also have web parts that have information about themselves, and so that the students can read about the faculty member as well as others that might visit the site can find some information. But what's most important is this web part in the center of the page, because this web part shows the courses that I'm currently instructing. But each semester when I want, or each term when I want to create a new course, I can simply click Add. And here I can provide the metadata about the course, the name of the course, when the course is going to be held, etc., and what TA is going to be a member of that course site. And when I click Save on this, a custom workflow kicks in, and that custom workflow, it creates the entire site collection for the course, all the lists and libraries for the course, as well as the workflows that are going to be associated with the document assignments. So I'll go ahead and cancel out of that because I have courses currently in progress. So we'll go ahead and click into the art history course here.
And so this is a solution that we've designed basically for a demo to focus on the education environment, but you
Correct.
Could really use this really in any business.
Absolutely, absolutely. So here at the course level now, we have information again, web parts about the course, but we have a couple web parts that bring information from the different document libraries that are associated with the course, bring those right to the surface here on this page. We have a lectures document library, and in that lectures document library, I post my videos that I've taken, that I've recorded for the various lectures. But I also can upload assignments for the students, and then we have a student's assignment document library for each of the student's specific assignments. So here I've just completed the lecture on the thinker, and so I'm going to go ahead and upload this lecture. I recorded this using Link. So I'll go ahead and upload the lecture because I noticed there were a few students missing from class today. So I want to make sure that they can get this video on demand, so I'll go ahead and save that. So now the lecture is uploaded, but I also want them to be able to work on the assignments, so I have a thinker assignment document that I'm going to go ahead and upload. So I'll go ahead and provide a name for this document. The thinker. And let's see, I'll make this due, I'll be real generous here. I'll make it due next Monday so they have at least Sunday night to get it done. All right. Now, what's interesting is that as soon as I click Save on that, a custom workflow kicks in, and it takes that assignment that I uploaded, and it creates a copy for each individual student, and then assigns permissions on that specific document so the student can only see their own. And so that's what happens here in the student assignments. You can see that the thinker document has been uploaded, and each student, a copy of that has been made for each one of the students that is currently enrolled in the course. So the beauty of this now is that this assignment is available in SharePoint Online. They can simply get online, work on the assignment, save it back to the document library, and that's a great thing for them.
So you're really able to take advantage of the custom workflow here
Yes.
in SharePoint to create, kind of use that one assignment to trigger a lot of activity.
Absolutely. So there I have uploaded my assignment, I've uploaded my lecture, and now the students can go about their business and do the work.
Okay, and that's where I come in. So I'm a student at the School of Fine Art, and I'm actually taking Dr. Follett's Art History 101 course. And you can see here that, like the professors, I'm a student. I also spend a lot of time in the School of Fine Art internet site that's running on SharePoint Online, and I might go to the site to view news or announcements, but I'll also use it to actually work on my assignments and kind of manage my daily life as a student. So I'll click here on Students, which takes me to the student portal, and you can see here it's going to load a rich Silverlight web part, and this application is a rich internet application built in Silverlight. It uses this SharePoint client object model to pull in information from lists and libraries within the different courses that I'm working on. So you can see here I'm taking the art history course that Donovan teaches. You can see here's the different lectures here, including the Thinker lecture that he just included. And if I click on the view link, it uploads this nice Silverlight player, and I can go ahead and watch the lecture because I actually had a very important beach volleyball tournament today, so I couldn't quite make the lecture. Okay, so that's the lecture. And now that I've watched the lecture, I'm ready to actually do my assignment. You can see here, here's the Thinker assignment for me that was created by that custom workflow. Another really cool thing that we're doing within this Silverlight application, we've actually integrated the Link Online service directly into the app. So we're showing Donovan's presence as well as his contact information, as well as the ability to launch calls, either a voice call or an IM call directly with Donovan or the teacher's assistant or whoever directly from the assignment. But I'm going to go ahead and get started on this assignment, so I'll click View Assignment. You can see here it opens it in the Office web apps, which are included in Office 365. But I want to actually start working on this in Word, so I'll click Edit Document, start working on the document. So this is a session on the Thinker, and I didn't pay too much attention in the lecture there, so I'll just start writing an answer here. And when I'm ready to actually submit it, I can save it over and over again just to make sure that it's safe and secure up there in SharePoint Online, but I'm actually ready to submit my homework and have it start going through the workflow associated with the grading process. I'll go ahead and click Ready to Submit here and then save it. And once I save that and close the document, it's going to kick off that workflow. It's going to send announcements out to Donovan and the TAs and so on so they can get an announcement that they need to grade the homework. And I'll go ahead and just refresh the page here to see what my grade is, because I'm sure Donovan's on top of the grade. Wow, Donovan, a C-. Really? Wow, so I thought I actually had put in a lot of time on that assignment and really felt that maybe I'd earned better than a C-. So I think I want to contact Donovan and actually talk to him about, why I got a C-. So I'm just going to click this icon here, and that's going to launch a link conversation with the back-end service, of course, being Link Online. And you can see here, when we start up the conversation, not only can I launch a conversation directly from the Silverlight application, it has integrated presence, so I know Donovan's available, he's in his office, but we have this conversation window extension, which again is a Silverlight application using the client object model to pull information from lists and libraries within SharePoint Online. So when Donovan gets the invitation to this conversation, he can actually see exactly why I'm calling. I'm calling about the Thinker assignment, and I'm calling about the fact that I have a C-. And in fact, rather than us just IMing back and forth, maybe it would be a good idea to add video so he can see just how disgruntled I am. So I'll go ahead and click on the video link here. And Donovan can add video back, and we can have a video conversation, again, running all through Link Online, and have a video conversation about, hey, Donovan, a C-, I felt like, maybe that was worth a little bit better of a grade.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. Talk to the camera.
Yeah, I didn't think that was quite your best work, Chris.
Okay.
Oh, it's good to see you, though, Chris.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I can put a name with a face now.
Exactly.
So, Chris, I'll tell you what. You got a good grade on that first assignment, and I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, so I'm going to go ahead and I'll give you a B on this assignment, okay? I'm going to be pretty easy today. So now I can just simply click on the grade right within the context window, which takes me directly to the assignment. I can edit the assignment in SharePoint Online, and I'll go ahead and change the grade to a B.
He's not feeling that generous.
I'm stretching it for a B there. And so now the grade has been updated, and Chris can go ahead and see the grade.
Okay. So let's actually take a look at that. I'll go ahead and close this window. Let's go back into the application and again refresh it. And since it's pulling this information directly from SharePoint Online, you can see that the grade's been updated directly in the application. So I know I'll work harder next time, maybe get help from Augusto, the TA, and get a little bit of tutoring moving forward, see if I can't bring my grades up a little bit. But just a great example of the kinds of custom solutions you can build with Office 365, including SharePoint Online, Link Online, and Exchange Online. And in this demo, we saw not only some really cool branding and theming, you know, CSS and master pages, but also some really cool solutions around being able to dynamically create sites for courses that include lists, libraries, and workflows for things like assignment distribution and assignment grading. And if you want to build these kinds of solutions, learn how to build these kinds of solutions, I've got two sessions this week, OSP 305 and OSP 306. So come to my session and we'll kind of go through some of the different concepts behind SharePoint Online and SharePoint Online development so you can see how you can go back, get your beta tenancy, and get started building these kinds of solutions. Great, thank you.
Thanks, guys. So I guess we learned that if we had Office 365 back when we were in college, we'd all have better grades, huh? Right. Okay, so you've seen the IT pro experience. You've seen an end user experience. Now we want to dive into the mobile experience. And if I think historically or where our technology has been around mobile, it's been primarily centered around email, calendar, contacts. So it's been the Exchange, Outlook, OWA, and then ActiveSync delivering that to various mobile devices. But with Office 365 and the Office Hub on Windows Phone, we now extend that connectivity to SharePoint and Word and PowerPoint and Excel. And so if you haven't had a chance to use the Office Phone yet, and the Windows Phone and the Office Hub on the Windows Phone, it's really, really a powerful tool. And so rather than, again, talking about the connectivity there that you can that we can provide, I got Augusto's going to come up, and he's going to show you Mango, so Windows Phone Mango with Office 365, and some of the, in this demonstration no one's seen before. So this is actually some really new, exciting stuff. So welcome, Augusto.
Thanks, Aaron. Okay, good. So here I have my Windows Phone 7. This has been updated with a release of Mango that we're going to be releasing later on this year, towards the end of this calendar year. And you see here that I'm a teacher, assistant, working with Donovan here at the School of Fine Arts. And what I want to do here is I just got my Windows Phone, and I've been playing with it a lot. I mean, I like it a lot. I have my personal email account already set up. I've been playing games, listening to music, but I also want to be productive. One of the key things that we're doing with Windows Phone in this new release is that we're going to be bringing Office 365 embedded right out of the box support. So for what I would like to do now is, since I just got this phone, is to go to my personal email account where I basically received from Donovan what my credentials are for Office 365, which I don't quite remember right now. So I can just open my personal email account. There is that mail from Donovan. And here he's sending me my email, an email welcoming me to the the Fine Arts College. And he's sending me my email account here. So I just click on that and then copy that link. And what I can do now is just go to my settings and really quickly go to my account manager, because that's how embedded now Office 365 is into Mango. So I just need to add a new account. And you see in the Outlook option in there, it says that I can connect to an Exchange on-premise or I can connect to Office 365. So I just click on that. I'll just paste here that email address that I got into that email. And if everybody can look that way, please, for a second. I'm going to enter my password here. And there he goes. So as you can see, I'm entering my email and email and password. It could be an Exchange auto-discovery process, but if it is Office 365, it says that it discovered it automatically. It is already provisioning all the Office 365 services that I have access to, and I get this notification where it says, I set up your Exchange account, I set up your SharePoint access, and in the Office Hub, all the SharePoint links are going to be pre-populated for me automatically. And it's also telling me that I can go to the marketplace to download the Link client application so I can also have access to Link through Office 365 without a problem. So that's completely embedded. Wow. Isn't that cool?
Wow. So you just completely configured that mobile device to connect to Office 365, not just email, but email, SharePoint,
email, SharePoint, link, everything from just one click.
That's going to save some support calls, huh?
Yeah. So I can go now back into my start screen. As you can see now, I have a new email account down here, which is this new Office 365 account, the one that I just set up. And as you can see, the emails are already coming in. So from here, I can see that in this particular case, I received that email from Chris asking me for help on his, he's saying that he's been working on this, the Thinker assignment from Donovan, and he's asking me for help because he got a bad grade on that. So I think you've seen that already, right? Mm-hmm. So I can go on that, and now what I'm doing is I'm actually connecting to that particular document that is the same document that Chris was working on. Here is his answer, the Thinker. So I think he could have done way better than this. So what I will do is that, let me just go back into the search here. I can click search and I start typing here the Thinker. The Thinker sculpture. And I can see that automatically resolves all the photos that I have in there. So there's a lot of information. If I go to web, of course, the Wikipedia article on the Thinker comes up really quickly. And I think at least he should have gone into the Wikipedia and read a little bit about it and maybe make up a better answer. So I can click on that link from the browser here, save it, and then as you can see, I can click and hold, and then I can go back. Isn't this nice? I can go back here to the document, back into the SharePoint site, go back into his answer here. I'll just edit this. And what I can do really quickly from here is go back into his answer, select that answer and add a comment and say, you could have done better.
So you've basically got, you started an account fresh.
Fresh.
You went in, pulled down a doc, you got an email, you pulled down a document, you've now gone to the web, you've grabbed some links from the web, you're now adding it as a comment into that document.
I'll just paste that link into the comment. And click somewhere else here and you'll see that there's my comment there with the link already in there. Save it back, and it's going and save back into the SharePoint site again. So now Chris has access to that document with my comment in there. Hopefully will help him make a better answer there and hopefully get a better grade next time.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. Guess so.
Thank you very much.
So as you can see with mobile, what we're doing there is we're taking, with a combination of the Office Hub and Windows Phone 7, we're creating a very similar productivity experience that you traditionally saw with email. We're now doing that with SharePoint and the rich Office apps. Very, very powerful. Okay, so let's keep going. So we talked about the IT pro, the end user, we saw the mobile experience. Now I want to talk a little bit about integration experience that you can do as a developer. And one of the core set of assets that we typically see most customers connecting or partners doing on behalf of customers is SharePoint Online and CRM Online as two core back-end cloud services, and then leveraging Windows Azure as the connective tissue between the two. We've got many examples of partner solutions in market today with BPOS and CRM Online that take advantage of this connection. And with this demo, we've got Girish up, and he is going to show you a similar application that we've developed that uses Windows Azure, CRM Online, and SharePoint Online. And again, Azure is that connective tissue that brings the solution together. So let me hand it over to Girish.
Thank you, Aaron. And hello, everyone. In this demo, we're going to show you an integrated business application running entirely in the cloud using SharePoint Online, CRM Online, on Windows Azure. I'm going to play the role of an art student in the School of Fine Arts, and I'm going to be requesting a grant for my art project in the SharePoint Online student portal. And then you'll see the grant being reviewed and approved in CRM Online. And both of these technologies are tied together using Windows Azure and the Silverlight web parts. So let's go ahead and take a look at the grant application page. So in this case, I have a custom Silverlight web part, again, running in the SharePoint Online sandbox. And this web part allows me to do a number of things. So I can go ahead and request a new grant. I can also take a look at my existing grants that have already been approved. And I can drill into these and see some of the artwork that were submitted as part of the grant. So I can take a look at some of the pictures or maybe even a video that was submitted as part of the application. And all of this is rendered seamlessly using Silverlight right within SharePoint Online. So now that I'm ready, I'm going to go ahead and request a new application in this case. So I'm going to fill in some details about my grant. So I'm going to enter the title. I'm going to enter a few contact information on my email and things like that. Again, the idea is, you know, it also brings a number of metadata from SharePoint, and all of this information can now be packaged together for my request. And because my artwork is going to take some little extra work, so I'm going to request a little more money. So I'm going to request for $1,000 instead of $100. And before I go ahead and submit this, I can also attach some artwork. So in this case, I have a picture of the artwork that I'm going to restore.
It's a classical artifact.
It is a classical artifact,
classical
indeed.
Classical artifact.
So I'm going to just drag and drop this onto the web part. The web part knows that it's an image. And what it's doing right now is it's taking the image, uploading it to Windows Azure Blob Storage.
Got it. So now that was a really big picture. You could take advantage of the cost savings that comes with storage.
Exactly. Now, image is not a big deal, but what if you had videos?
Sure.
You know, that could be like, you know, megabytes or even gigabytes in size.
Right.
So in this case, we are using the efficient storage that's available as part of Windows Azure.
Got it.
So now that my grant request is ready, I'm going to go ahead and submit this. And once I submit this, what happens is this web part is making web services calls to Windows Azure and CRM Online to post this information.
Got it. That's the classic artifact that you're going to
restore. Of
course.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody recognized the Altair 8800, Bill Gates' very first PC.
That's
so
right.
I'm sure it's an artwork worth restoring. So let's switch gears for a second. So now I'm going to switch roles, and I'm going to play the role of a professor in the School of Fine Arts, and I'm going to review this application.
So far, what you've done is you've acted as the student. Mm-hmm. You've used a customized solution in SharePoint Online. You mm-hmm. submitted a grant application asking the school for some money.
Correct.
And they stored that application a little bit in Azure, Windows
mm-hmm.
Azure, and now they've also created a connection to CRM Online.
That is correct.
Where now, as a professor, you're going to go in and decide whether or not you want to approve that.
That is correct. And now people might wonder, hey, why am I in CRM Online? Because people think of CRM Online as a sales tool or a marketing tool. But what CRM Online also has is it has a data-driven platform underneath that developers can use to build line of business software. So
Got
in this
it.
Case, School of Fine Arts has built a grants management module for a professor to go look at this grant. And once I sign into CRM Online, you know, it shows me a wonderful dashboard about everything I need to know about the grant request. So it shows me all the recent grant applications that are waiting for my approval. It shows the number of grant requests that I get in over a period of time. It also shows scores of the recent artworks, indicating the quality of artwork, showing how many people have been playing beach baseball and how many of them have been really doing work.
That's
and
right.
It also shows me how much money do I have versus how much money do I have allocated for the students already. Mm-hmm. And lastly, it shows the rotating control of all the recent artwork that has been coming in from the students. So I'm going to quickly go ahead and refresh this recent list. And what you see is the application that we just submitted is now in my pipe. So I'm going to go ahead and open this. And while this comes up, one of the things that you'll notice is that CRM Online now uses the Fluent UI and the ribbon controls that you're familiar from SharePoint 2010. So the work that the SharePoint and Office team put into the ribbon controls has now been leveraged by the CRM Online team.
Mm-hmm.
So once I have this grant open, again, I can see all the information that have been sent to CRM Online through the web services. So I can see things like the title of the application, who the student was, how much money they've been asking, and I can also drill in and take a look at some of the artwork. So once I open up the artwork, again, the image is living in Windows Azure, but it's being rendered again in CRM Online seamlessly using Silverlight.
Okay.
So I get this best experience at both places. So now that I'm really happy with the application, and of course I'm excited about the Altair, I'm going to go ahead and approve this application. In fact, I'm going to give it an extra couple of $100 for the student. Now, of course, professors are never good with money, nor grades, at least art professors. So in this case, the system is smart enough to say I cannot do that. So in this case, I'm going to give it a maximum $1,000 that's possible. And when I hit save, what CRM Online is going to do is it's going to approve the application. What we also have is a sandbox plugin running in CRM Online that's going to generate an approval document for the student so the student can know how they can avail the money, how they can make use of it in their art projects. So now my application has been approved. So if I go back to the student page, so now again, you know, when we submitted this, it was not approved. But if I go ahead and refresh this Silverlight web part, what you're going to see is that it's going to pull information from CRM Online. It's going to pull the approval status. It's going to pull the approval document. So there you see with the green tick mark, my application has now been approved. And I can also go take a look at the approval document, which is rendered right in the browser using Office Web App. So it has all the detailed instructions on how, as a student, I can make use of the money.
Great. So another interesting scenario, again, around fine arts, but also valuable in a business setting.
Absolutely, yeah. In a nutshell, what we have done is, you know, I've entered a grant request in the SharePoint Online portal. The grant was then sent to Windows Azure and CRM Online using the web services. The professor was then able to review the application and approve it. And once the professor approved it, it generated an approval document and sent it back to the student. All of this working seamlessly together in the cloud. And you, as developers, you can go build applications like this today. And if you want to know more details about the demo, please come to my breakout session tomorrow. And thank you very much, Aaron.
Great. Thanks, Krish. Okay. So again, what we really tried to cover in this session was IT pro experience, user experience. You saw the mobile experience for end users in the demonstration. And then, of course, here's a way of really thinking about delivering a solution that spans application all in the cloud using Windows Azure. So you're probably wondering, hey, how can I start doing this today? Well, we've got available now a training kit and some templates that are available that connect SharePoint with Windows Azure. And so I highly, highly recommend you go check this out, take the course, take a look at some of the samples that we have up there, so you can start building solutions just like you've seen today during this presentation in your own environment, again, using SharePoint, using Windows Azure, CRM Online. Very, very exciting stuff that you can do in the cloud today with Microsoft. Just wanted to end on a few last points here. You know, the momentum that we've been seeing around SharePoint over the last couple years has really been significant. But it's primarily been in large enterprises who had the skills, who had the ability to really deploy and take advantage of the SharePoint technology. But with SharePoint Online, we can now bring that technology down into small and medium businesses. So everything that you saw today in the demonstrations is really just a few clicks away to be provisioned within our cloud environment, and then it allows you as the IT pro within a company or you as a partner helping a customer out to go and actually customize that solution to meet the needs of those businesses. So think about the momentum that we've seen in SharePoint over the last couple of years in the enterprise, and now you can apply that same technology down in small and medium business, which is really very, very exciting about this move with Office 365. So what are the next steps? First and foremost, if you don't have a beta account for Office 365, go get one and start to take a look at the technology yourself. We're in the beta period now. We're going to be generally available later this year. So this is a great time to kick the tires and see what you have available. The second step, download the training kits from MSDN. Start to get a sense for what you can do and take advantage of some of those templates. And then check out a broader set of sessions here at TechEd. There's a session later today that I'm doing in the same room where we're going to talk about the full surface area of Office 365, not just SharePoint. There's dedicated SharePoint sessions later today, and throughout the week, there's just a lot you can learn about what you can do in the cloud with Microsoft. Now, the last thing I'll leave you with is please fill out your performance evaluation on the session. You can win some great prizes, everything from an Xbox with a Kinect to a sippy cup. So get excited about the sippy cup. Okay, and that's my hour. So thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of TechEd.